Trying to read that. Very thorough. A lot of meditations in there we need to be delivered with. Okay. Starting with verse 159 to verse 168. Because consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation. I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Please bow ahead and join me in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we're in awe of your presence as we come before you as humble men and women of God, and help us receive what we need to receive. Anoint Rob's mind and tongue as the word goes through him like rivers of living water, that we receive what we need to receive today. Go forth. You know, as we go out those doors, Father, we're in a mission field. So help us remember that, especially not just today, but every day of the week. We've gone through another week, and those teachings continue to come. It's being nurtured, being fed, and then going out to those highways and byways, because we don't know what we're going to run into, but you know, nothing really should surprise us. You know, you say things like this were going to happen in our lives, but be ready for them. This is, we continue to read the word, continue to be washed and cleansed in it daily, because we need you, Father God. We're in awe once again of your presence. You're here for all of us and each and every one. And just say, if you went to the cross as you have, you would have gone just for one of us. So the thing is, you're here, and we are ready to receive what we need to do today. And so we guide our minds, our hearts today, and whether the trouble, whether the trials, tribulations continue on, I just sense there's enemies trying to come up another level now, right now. Just help us be ready for those times in that race that we're in, that journey. Those things are happening, and they're for real. So the thing is, help us be ready. In and out of season. Today is that day, and also appointed time as we continue to get fed today. And we go on those highways and byways starting probably today, and we'll have another week before we get trained up again. And the thing is, it's always be open to receive. Definitely things are going on in our minds, our hearts. We might have some questions, but the thing is, we know who to go to. And the thing is, it starts and it ends with you. To seek me first. And there was reasons for it why I said that. You know, nobody else. You know, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And those things happen, and that's going to be reality. And the things we just have to keep on getting a peace in our hearts. And where does that come from? Reading the Word. He's the Prince of Peace, Comforter. He's everything we'll ever need in our lives. And so help us. The joy of the Lord is our strength today. Help that joy come out of us. Fluently to be the men and women that God was supposed to be this day. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen.
Not on his affliction, but the cause of his affliction. And there's a big contrast I think we need to make here. Sometimes our affliction has to do with what God is doing in our lives. Afflictions affect everybody. Persecution affects everybody. In Matthew 5:45, God says he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Sometimes we're persecuted for our righteousness, for what we're doing. Sometimes we're afflicted, and there's a cause. God is trying to work something out in us. My ankle. I believe God allowed that to pass to me to work something out in me. Right. And I think that no matter what we're faced with, we need to look at what that cause or purpose may be. If you consider Cain and Abel, Abel was killed for his righteousness. He was doing something unto God, and the cause was because of what he was doing. Cain was cursed and cast out because of his wickedness. Afflictions affect everybody, but God has a purpose in all of it.
Right.
Some are prisoners of men. As Paul says here, he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Some are prisoners of the devil. Sin, addiction, those are snares, chains, entrapments that afflict many. And some of us do vile things or bad things or inappropriate things, and we reap those rewards. But then other times, we may be afflicted or persecuted because of what we're doing for the kingdom, or because God has a purpose in shaping us, growing us. There's a conscious purpose in it, not a sinful purpose in it. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Paul is fulfilling 1 Peter 4:14 through 16 his perspective on this. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. This is exactly what Paul is doing. He's saying, I'm a prisoner of Christ. My chains are something I praise God in. And in his message to Philemon, he's saying he thanks his God, making mention of Philemon always in his prayers, but he thanks God. His focus is on God. His focus is not on his affliction. It's on what God is doing through it. Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not every persecution is from the outside world. Some of it's in our own flesh. Some of it is affliction that comes upon us, but it's all to grow us and shape us. I just want to make that point. We're only in 1:1, but I think that focusing on Paul's perspective through this and where he's writing this letter from is really important. Verse 2, I'm going to go into Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, still part of verse 1, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Now, it's assumed, we don't really know, but Apphia would be Philemon's wife, and Archippus may be their son. The church is in their home. The church that Paul is referring to is the church of Colossae, the Colossian church. We may be called to be prisoners of Christ. We may be called to be afflicted. There are persecutions and afflictions that will come upon us. We know that. And I think that a part of Paul addressing this, because it's at least 5 times in Philemon that he addresses his own chains, being a prisoner. I think that he does that partially to kind of remind Philemon that they're taking the same risk. Philemon is running the Colossian church out of his own home. His family is doing the same thing. Apphia and Archippus, who he calls his fellow soldier, they're taking that risk. At this time in Rome, they were persecuted for their faith. They could have been shut into prison, put in chains the same way Paul was, and we may have to face that someday as well. Paul wrote the letter openly to Philemon, Apphia, Archippus, and to the church in their house. I think also because his words could be heard by all. If he sent it just to Philemon, Philemon may not necessarily be held accountable to it, but by addressing it to multiple people into the church, it's an open letter. And so what Paul says afterward, Philemon has to be accountable for. Other people know the words that Paul is speaking, and I think that's important, is that we have accountability to one another in the church. Ephesians 5:21 says we submit to each other in fear of God. I thank my God making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Paul took time each day to pray for and thank God for the people that God had placed in his life and his ministry. Paul was an apostle, and he went all over the place, Europe and Asia, preaching the gospel and planting churches. His prayer list must have been huge. And yet he says that he takes time to not just pray for the church in Colossae, but to pray for each of them individually. And the focus that he shows here, I think, is really great. That he sits and takes his time with the Lord, not just for himself, but to lift up others that he's come across. Everyone in his life, you see in book after book that he wrote, chapter after chapter, that he prays for all of those that he has ministered to or that have been involved in ministry with him. And the power of that prayer, the righteous and the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man, avails much. He remembers their wants individually. He focuses on what's going on in their lives. And he thanks God for the work he is doing through them all. Even from where he is, he says that he heard of the love that they have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. They hear of the workings. He hears of the workings of the church in Colossae while he's apart from them, separated from them. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. He has joy and consolation in hearing of the work of Philemon. Paul planted this church. It is in Philemon's house. And Paul says that it brings him consolation in his position that he hears of everything that Philemon has been doing for the saints, for the church. It brings him great joy. Again, he's not focused on his circumstances or what's going on, that he's bound in chains or that he's on house arrest, that he's being persecuted. He's focused on the good that God is doing around him. I want to stop here because this, for a few minutes, this word refreshed, for we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. That word refreshed caught me as I was coming through Philemon. It caused me to kind of dig a little deeper into why he's saying, for whatever reason, I believe that's where the Spirit led me, is that he says this word very specifically. The hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Philemon knew how to be refreshing to those around him, like a glass of cold water. Ryan, could you pull that picture up, please? This is the Lycus River Valley. Colossae is right at the foot of the mountains. The source of the Lycus River comes through the mountains. It's all mountain runoff. And the water in Colossae is known to be very cold. You wouldn't necessarily know this unless you start studying it out. But then in Hierapolis, northwest of it, if the map is correct, they're known for having hot springs. I want to turn to Revelation 3 and read 14 through 17 real quick. Revelation chapter 3, 14 through 17. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This is Jesus speaking in Revelation, by the way, if you don't have a red letter Bible. And he's saying, I wish you were cold or hot, but you are lukewarm, and I will vomit you out of my mouth. So Colossae has cold water, mountain runoff. Hierapolis has hot springs. And Laodicea had to use an aqueduct to get their water from much farther out in the Lycus River and then bring it down into their city. Now, you don't necessarily know all of this from Scripture, but if you study out the area and you study out the time, you'd know that aqueducts, as they carried water, it became warm and baked in the sun, and by the time it got to its destination, it wasn't cold or hot. It was also filled with calcium carbonate, and it was very gritty, and it became an enematic, meaning it would make you vomit. When you think of Jesus saying, I wish you were cold or hot, sometimes we take that out of context and we think, well, so he wishes we were either on fire for him or completely, like, against him or devoid of you know, working for him. But that's not the context he's speaking in here. What he's saying is, if you look at the valley, I wish you were cold and refreshing, as Paul said to Philemon, you refresh the hearts of the saints, or you were hot. If you have a cold glass of water or you jump into a cold pool, it'll invigorate you, right? It's refreshing. It can be renewing to your day, you know? Sometimes if I've had a long day, I'll come home and I'll get the coldest water I can, which in the summer is a little difficult, and I'll splash it on my face and it invigorates me. I don't necessarily need a cup of coffee. And what Paul is saying to Philemon is he's refreshing to the hearts of the saints. He knows how to be that refreshing encourager to the saints. To give strength or energy is the meaning of refreshing, and to give hope or confidence is the meaning of encouraging. If you think of something hot, like a hot bath, it can be healing, relaxing. It takes stress off of you to become sound or healthy again in healing. It can also be cleansing, to remove mark or blemish, to decontaminate. And so if you look at this river valley, Laodicea, they're saying in Revelation 3, I'm going to turn back there real quick so I can read it. I don't want to misquote. I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It's almost speaking of reputation versus reality. The Laodicean church had a reputation for being wealthy and having no need and being abundant. And what happens sometimes is you become lukewarm. When you rest in that, you become apathetic, dull, indifferent, careless, complacent. When I worked in the prisons, that was one thing we would warn each other of constantly. Do not become complacent. It's in your complacency. It's when you sit and rest and think that everything is fine that then something kicks off. Something real dangerous can happen. And if we're not on guard, if we're not making sure that we are useful in the kingdom, hot or cold, then, well, David, help me out here. You're sitting still. And if you're sitting still, you're what?
You're going backwards.
You're going backwards, right? You can also find yourself sitting in a place of belief rather than relationship. In James, it says, even the demons believe and tremble. Belief is not enough to save you. Oh, there's a God, you do well. But it's having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. And in a relationship, we have to put work in. We can't sit on and rest on our laurels and say, oh, the work is done, I'm saved. It doesn't work that way. I think that's all the Lord wants me to share today. But I'm going to take a few minutes. Today is the second Sunday of the month. And the plan is to go out and evangelize, to be hot or cold, to be refreshing to others, to encourage, to exhort, to share the good news of the kingdom. And while I'm here and have the opportunity, I'm going to ask for a volunteer. Come on up, Carl. I'm going to run through this little script. I have a few of them. So if you want to come out and evangelize with us, you'll have a tool, something you can go off of. It's not perfect. It's very simple. If you're well-versed in evangelism, great. Use another method. There's nobody saying that you can't do something like that and do it your own way. But if you need a starting point, come and see me and get one of these if you want to come out, and we'll hit these streets and we'll share the gospel.
I meant that I was going to volunteer.
No, that's. Do you want? Are you okay to do this?
No,
okay, I'm going to run through this
sure,
with you. So I want you to pretend you don't know Jesus. Okay. Hi, my name is Rob. What's your name?
Carl,
it's good to meet you. I've got two things I want to tell you real quick. God loves you, and he has an amazing plan for your life.
Oh, I know that.
Do you know that?
I know that.
You know that, okay. Well, before I go, I want to ask you a real quick question. If you were to die today, do you know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that you would go straight to heaven?
As if
you don't know Jesus, yes.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, why do you know that?
Because I'm a nice guy, and I do things, and I help people.
That's great. Cool. So you live a good life, man. But let me tell you three things the Bible says real quick. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. It says, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And you're a whosoever, right? So am I. We all are. So before I go, I'm going to say a quick prayer for you, if you just give me your hand. Lord, I pray that you bless Carl and his family with long and healthy lives. Make yourself so real to him. And if Carl has never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that he would do so right now. Carl, if you would receive this gift, this free gift, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, just say this with me. Jesus, come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
Wash me.
Wash me.
Change me.
Change me.
And set me free.
And set me free.
Let me never be the same again.
Let me never be the same again.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I believe you died for me.
I believe you died for me.
Help me to live for you.
Help me to live for you.
And fulfill everything you have called me to do.
And help me fulfill everything you've called me to do.
I thank you that I am now forgiven.
I thank you that I'm now forgiven.
And on my way to heaven.
And on my way to heaven.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Carl, I've got the best news anyone will ever tell you. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I tell you today that your sins are forgiven. Right now. And you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Remember, when you do make a mistake, don't run from God. Run to him. Because he loves you and he does have an awesome plan for your life. It's simple, but it's effective. And it's just one tool in an arsenal. You can learn much more. The plan for today, if you want to come out, I'm going to get that black stone out there. I'm going to make a bunch of hot dogs. And we're going to send people out 2x2. Go out, hit the streets, minister to people. If they do want to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you're going to write down their information on a piece of paper so we can follow up with them, get them discipled, plugged in, not just leave them on the street saying, okay, great, you're saved. And there's a few rules. We don't push. If somebody doesn't want to say this, they don't want to engage, it's not their time. It is ripe for harvest. If there's someone who is going to come to the Lord has been drawing them already. And they're ready to be picked. They're ready to come. So we're not going to push. And we're not going to get into, why don't you, you used to read your Bible, why don't you read your Bible every day? Why don't you go to church if you used to go to church? We're not there to push. We're there to smile and show love and share the good news of the gospel, that there's a free gift of eternal life waiting for them. Smile ridiculously, right? Show the love of the Lord to them. If there's others, I don't remember them right now, but those are the two important ones. Don't push. Be friendly. Thank you, Carl. I'm sorry. You're good. So I'm going to be set up in the common with the Blackstone. If anybody has questions, they want to talk, they have questions about the Bible or about your faith, and you want to share testimony, and you want some backup answering questions, that's what I'm going to be there for. If anybody else wants to join me as an apologist, we can go there and do that work. So if somebody you reach is in town and you want to give them just a hot meal, hey, you know what? Thanks for talking with me. We've got free hot dogs in the town center. Do you want to come over? You can get a Bible if you want. Bring them down to where the gazebo is. We'll have food waiting ready for them so everybody can get a meal. And if any of you want to come out and just get a hot dog and fellowship, you don't have to go out and evangelize necessarily, but come out, get a hot dog, and you know, we'll spend a few minutes breaking bread together. Go ahead, Carl. So for those online who can't hear Carl, he had a Bible that he was given for 30 years and didn't touch it for 30 years. But it was 25 years. Didn't open it. But, you know, the Lord plants seeds and he works in his time and he'll bring us all. You know, his word says that he wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We need to go out and do that work. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father, for choosing me to deliver this word, even if I stumbled my way through it. Lord, we praise you for every good word you have set before us, and we know, Lord, that your word is a lamp into our feet, a light into our path, and we take one step at a time with you, Lord. And we're just so grateful. Please, Lord, let your word permeate our hearts, our minds. Help us, Lord, to let it dwell in our spirit, Father, and just learn from everything that you have said through us today. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody would like prayer, please come on up.